actual auditory impact. 10 seconds there. 1, 2, 3, 4, on my count. Yeah! 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, roll A, fade up on A.
We're ready to go into fast time if you are.
Live from the authority of South Florida, the Rich Stevens Show starts now.
Doing a real good show up there. I think we're proving our point, old buddy.
Well, I can't believe there's something happening outside this morning that I wasn't quite sure what it was when I first walked out of the house, because I hadn't seen it in such a long time, and I'm still seeing it now. It's the sun shining, which is really incredible. How are you? What's going on? I'm Rich Stevens. I had an experience with a bright light over the weekend that was, it was quite frightening to me. I went for an eye exam on Saturday. I hate going for an eye exam because I never look forward to when they dilate your eyes. And I had a problem about a year ago where I had these like floaters or something, which was crazy. Thank God it went away. I didn't have any tears or anything. Went away on its own, actually. But after the eye surgeon told me, just, you know, take it easy, be careful, blah, blah, blah. I don't know if you've ever had this, but it's terrible. I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy. So anyway, when I went for the recheckup, you know, the yearly checkup, or in this case, this was the third or fourth time I went to the eye doctor this year, they have to not only dilate my eyes, but something that dilates them even more than normal, if there's such a thing. And I never had that before. And what was scary about it is, and I know I go prepared. I bring my sunglasses because the light is just, it's terrible how you know, just a little light bothers you. I don't understand why eye doctors don't have a dark room where you can just sit in a dark room. Instead, you sit out in the waiting room where it's bright sunshine coming in. But anyway, the part that was scary for me is it lasted for several hours. Normally, it's a couple hours, maybe 3 hours when this stuff wears off. But here I was, let's see, I had the exam at about 2 or 3 in the afternoon. Actually, 1:30 was the exam. They put in the drops about 2. And here it was 7 o'clock at night, and I was still dilated. It was awful, especially because I had to go to Costco and deal with, you know, the crowds there. And I got a Costco story coming up for you in just a minute. But before we even get to there, there's a controversy that's happening. It actually started over the weekend. And I cannot believe, you know, we have so many problems in the world. I cannot believe that people pick on the dumbest, stupidest things to start a controversy and bring awareness to something that really doesn't have any matter. Although I think this controversy really throws it over the top. You know, remember Starbucks, they just can't seem to catch a break this holiday season. First they had the controversy surrounding those red cups. Remember that? And now people are upset over Starbucks cookies. I'm not making this up. They have polar bear holiday cookies. Now, I don't go to Starbucks. I can't afford to go to Starbucks. And not only that, but even if I could, I wouldn't go. So I don't know if they have these polar bears every year, but it seems, though, as if a lot of people saying and thinking that the red icing scarf around the polar bear's neck looks like blood. I'm not joking. 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585. So they're complaining that the bear looks like his throat's been cut. You can't make this stuff up. Now, I put a picture online at 850WFTL.com in case you haven't seen the cookie yet. And if you haven't seen it, you're probably going to see it trending on your Facebook timeline sometime today, or you probably, like me, saw it all over the place on the weekend. But the pictures and the comments are all over social media. It's incredible. One person tweeted, where is this? First, Starbucks doesn't support Christmas. Now they're encouraging killing polar bears. Are you kidding me? Another person wrote, not sure why Starbucks think polar bears with their throats slit are Christmassy. Really? You got to take a look at the picture that I put on the blog. It's on under Rich Stevens Show at 850WFTL.com. And I'm curious to know. And even if you haven't seen it yet, you can call me and let me know. 877-850-8585. Are you offended by this? What the hell are people thinking? From the Jesus-hating red cups to bloody polar bear cookies, I'm more outraged that they're charging $5 for a focaccia cookie. Red scarf or bleeding neck, whatever it is. But this truly, this is the world that we're in today. We have so many issues of things going on, and yet people seem to pick a topic, and it just blows up within a matter of hours all over social media. I don't understand how this stuff happens. But it continues to happen. You know, have you heard the story about what's going on in Turkey? Where people love, what's the name of the dogs? The, I can't think of the name of the dog. There's a certain breed of dog. And I personally love I love all dogs, but I love this breed of dogs. And apparently they love them when they're puppies. And when they grow up, they abandon them. They just leave them on the streets. What the hell's the matter with people? Yeah, puppies are great, but they're going to grow up. And I'm not talking about, you know, 5 or 10 dogs. I'm talking about they have a tremendous problem with these stray dogs. And now, thank God, somebody, an organization, I think the woman's in Texas or Atlanta, has started a mission to bring these stray dogs that are all over the streets in Turkey here to America, to homes that, you know, desperately would love to house these stray dogs. Why can't I think of the name of the dog? Because it's Monday. That's why. 877-850-8585. 877-850-8585. They're adorable dogs. Why can't I think of them, what they're called? This is how you know it's a Monday. There's just too many things going on at the same time. But as I said, Golden Retrievers. Thank you. Thank you, Lisa and Sunrise. I do appreciate you texting me. Golden Retrievers. Imagine. We've already taken in, here in America, over 100 Golden Retrievers that were just abandoned on the streets. These poor, loving dogs. They just didn't want them as full-grown dogs. They only wanted the puppies. So when they're done with them, they just put them on the street. They roam free. And these have got to be the kindest, most caring dogs. I mean, you look at the faces on these dogs. And again, thank God for this Atlanta woman who spearheaded this campaign, and they're still doing it, and they need help with money because there's people that are threatening them to leave the dogs. People in Turkey that feel bad for these dogs are leaving out plates of food. I mean, think about it. A dog can't do anything for themselves, so they depend on others to, you know, it's not like the dogs are going hunting and finding food. I just feel terrible for situations like this. And I want to get my friend criminal defense attorney Michelle Suskauer on the show with us this morning. There's a new survey that's out today that's sponsored by AAA. It says 76% of American drivers park incorrectly in parking lots. Now, I had an incident that happened to me over the weekend. I'm going to tell you this story, and thank God I'm alive. The AAA says that even though here in Florida it's illegal to back into a parking spot, in case you didn't know that, but AAA is suggesting that you should back into spaces so you can pull forward out of the space to increase the safety and visibility of other shoppers in busy parking lots this holiday season. Really? Couldn't you back over a pedestrian while trying to get into your space? Or wouldn't that be just as tragic? 877-850-8585. 877-850-8585. Have you noticed that every year at the holiday time, people get into these? You would think, first of all, I don't know about you, but I'm not sensing any kind of holiday spirit. Last night of Hanukkah, I got to tell you, I'm so sad when Hanukkah's over. I love lighting the candles, and I love watching the candles burn, and I love all the colors of the candles. And I'm sad that the 8 days and 8 nights just went by so fast. Now, as long as we're talking about driving and parking and parking lot, I'd love to know your opinion of lot sharks. Do you even know what a lot shark is? You know, people drive around looking to pounce on that perfect spot instead of walking a little bit to get to the front door. Why do people do these things? And it's worse. I got to tell you, and I know I've said this before with other instances, I've lived all over the country. It's worse here in South Florida than it is anywhere. It's just incredible to me. All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick timeout. I'm going to tell you what happened at Costco yesterday. We'll get Michelle Suskauer on the line with us to see if there's any kind of legal ramifications. I know I'm not the only one that runs into situations like this. I can't be, because I've seen it so often. But the New Yorker in me is the problem that ends up coming out, and I'm lucky I wasn't killed. And in hindsight, I probably shouldn't have done what I did, but I did, and thankfully nothing tragic happened. But it's scary because over the next, 11 days before Christmas, this is going to get worse for people here in South Florida. 877-850-8585. Quick time out. You're listening to The Rich Steven Show.
This is The Rich Steven Show on 850 WFTL. Now, here's Rich.
All right, listen. So I was at Costco yesterday, and I know, before you even say, why would you even bother going to Costco? Well, sometimes you got to go. I end up there like a couple times a week because I don't like to stock up on stuff. I know I've told you this before. So I was waiting for someone to get out of a parking spot. I'm sitting there waiting forever. I was actually looking at my phone. It was about 6 minutes I'm waiting for this guy to go out. And I have my turn signal on. Anyway, he pulls out. I can't stand when somebody does this. He pulls out the opposite direction. A car comes by, swoops in from the other side. I pull my car right up to the guy, and I jump out. I said, do you see that I'm sitting here with my blinker on? I'm waiting for the spot. Turns out the guy doesn't speak a word of English. So here I am, I'm like screaming at this guy, and he just keeps saying, I don't even know what language he was speaking. Now, about 10 years ago, I probably would have gone one step further and, you know, just gotten in his face and just, you know, raging. I'm smart enough, I don't do that anymore. But I was telling this story to some people, and they said, you don't even want to get out of your car anymore because you never know when somebody's going to just pull out a gun and blow your head away. But it bothers me because it's so bad this time of year in South Florida. It's worse. The Costco parking lot has got to be the worst ever. I think they purposely designed the parking lot so you end up in situations like this. I was talking to my good friend, attorney Michelle Suskauer, earlier, and she's telling me that you got to be even more careful than I'm thinking. Michelle, how are you?
Hey, good morning.
So why do I have to be even more careful than I would normally think of? What's the bottom line here?
Well, first of all, right now, people are just absolutely crazed in terms of running around the holidays. People are down who don't normally live here, the snowbirds. And Costco is normally just a crazy parking lot anyway. It's just really, really dangerous because people get very angry. For example, you were waiting for a spot, and you were waiting, and you were being patient, and then this has happened to everybody. Somebody pulls right in, and you just want to approach them. I've actually represented people, a number of folks, in parking lots with fights over parking spaces.
What?
It is not worth it. It's so infuriating, and you want to confront someone. How can you do this? They are not going to suddenly get back in their car, apologize to you, and give you their space, or the space, not theirs. And so I've represented people charged with aggravated assault, aggravated battery. People are
wait. How is it aggravated assault or battery if you're just, you know, standing there?
If you're going up to someone, let's say you are in your car and you see the person walking away from the space and you pull right up next to them, okay? And they could make a complaint that you potentially were trying to hit them with your car. You were being angry. You were yelling. You're in someone's face. It's somebody, if you poke somebody.
People have been arrested for this?
Absolutely. I've represented folks in their 80s who've approached someone else in their 80s and gotten into a fight. It happens all the time. It's not worth it. You know what? Park far away and walk. We could all use the
I do bus. That. Listen, I don't, you know, when you get to Costco this time of year, you can't park up close. There's no way. So this was
right.
Not one of the spots on top of the store. I felt like I had to take a cab to Costco. It was so far away. But I wanted to get in and get out, and I'm waiting. Now, the same parking lot about 2 weeks ago, similar situation. The only problem is I'm the one that went into the spot, and a guy comes up to me and says, don't you see me waiting? It was the exact same thing. Roles reversed.
Right.
I truly didn't see the guy. And I said, oh, listen, I'm so sorry. Let me get out of here. And I got back in the car, and I backed down and let the guy get in. That's what you should do.
Right. It's true. It's true. But but you are a rarity, okay? So that does not happen. So my advice, unless you want to deal with the criminal justice system, is just suck it up and move on.
Wow. I can't believe people are getting arrested for that. Is it happening at Costco?
It's happening at Costco. It's happening at all the big box stores. It's happening in the mall, everywhere. And it's only going to get worse as the holidays continue to creep upon us.
So are you telling me that if I just, you know, from the car or standing outside, I just start yelling at somebody? What about if I'm yelling at somebody?
Just yelling is not enough. But what you're doing is you're really escalating a situation, because yelling can turn into threatening behavior. So when you cross the line between being, you know, stating your opinion, which you're entitled to do, and actually becoming aggressive, that is where it gets a little fuzzy.
Well, where is the aggressive line drawn?
Well, I think it depends on if you start getting into someone's face, where you start being physical, poking, where you start using something like your vehicle to get close to someone, to almost maybe they have to jump out of the way. That is crossing the line.
So the last time this happened to me, which was about 3 weeks ago in the Publix parking lot, I just blocked the guy's car in. Is that considered a crime?
It's not considered a crime, but first, that's so stupid. I mean, what are you doing by that? What are you trying to accomplish?
I was just totally pissed. I'm saying this guy, if this guy goes in and takes a spot, then I'm going to block him. He can't go out. I left my car there and went in the store.
Great. You know what? And then they could call one, say that you're obstructing traffic, and you can get a ticket.
Yay. Listen,
don't do it.
Thank you, Michelle. It's always a pleasure to be on this side of the phone with you, not in the other situation.
Sure.
And listen, we'll talk to you soon. Happy holidays, and thanks for everything.
Thanks so much. You too.
Thank you. Bye-bye. That's Attorney Michelle Suskower. I didn't know that was illegal to do that. Best thing is to just let it go. And listen, the old rich would have jumped in somebody's face. The new rich says, oh, you know, you never know how somebody's going to react and start a fight. First time I moved down to Florida in 1981, I had a fight with somebody in the parking lot on 163rd at the Burger King. It seems like it was yesterday. Coming up, we're just getting started, so don't move. You're listening to The Rich Stevens Show.
850 WFTL. This is The Rich Stevens Show. Now, here's Rich Stevens.
There was another brutal shooting of a black man by law enforcement over the weekend, but this time it appears the suspect had a gun before he was fatally shot. However, some are saying the continued shooting that occurred after the suspect was already down, that was excessive. The Los Angeles County Sheriff's officials said yesterday the 28-year-old Nicholas Robertson shot 6 to 7 times into the air in a residential area of Linwood, California, before he walked to a nearby shopping area about 11 o'clock in the morning. This happened on Saturday. Now, the captain, Steve Katz, from the sheriff's homicide unit, said that Robertson went into at least one business behaving erratically with a gun in his hand. There's a video officials showed yesterday at a news conference. It appears to show a gun in Robertson's hand as two deputies got on the scene. Officials say that Robertson was walking towards a gas station, pointed the gun at deputies, ignored their orders several times to drop the gun before they began shooting. Now, in the video, deputies continue to shoot at Robertson when he was on the ground, with one firing 16 shots, another 17. They say he was continuing holding on to the gun, which was a semi-automatic, during the gunfire. Protesters, including, of course, his family members, gathered outside the gas station yesterday to protest the shooting and remember Robertson, who is the father of three children. Now, the sheriff, Jim McDonald, says the department is taking the investigation seriously and they will handle it with the utmost professionalism and integrity.
We owe it to family, to the public, and to the justice system to be thorough and to be deliberate, to follow the evidence that will lead to more clarity and focus in this investigation.
Now, the family's already saying that the their loved one was crawling on the ground. He was crawling, and police still shot him. The sheriff promises that the investigation will indeed be handled properly.
I want to ensure the public that the sheriff's department takes deputy-involved shootings very seriously and that this investigation will be handled with the utmost professionalism and integrity.
Now, this is a little bit different than most of the other high-profile cases, since the suspect appears to be armed. Some people are saying that it looked like a gun, but it wasn't a gun. Still, they continued to shoot at Robertson. The family members and others are saying seems very excessive. We have to know by now that cameras are on law enforcement. It seems almost everything they do is eventually going to be seen. I asked Sheriff Alan Burdi to join us today. How are you, Al?
Yes, sir.
Listen, when you first saw this video, what's the first thing that went through your mind? Do you see the gun, first of all?
Absolutely. When I saw it, and not only that, you have corroboration from the 911 callers who are calling in saying that he's firing in the air. You know, when you look at the video, when it's highlighted there, I mean, clearly it looks like it's a gun in his hand. But again, you have eyewitnesses who are saying that's what's going on. That's the best thing you got going.
But you also have, on the other side, family members and their eyewitnesses are saying he was crawling and he was still being shot. He was crawling away from the officers. Does that give any justification for the officers to retreat?
Well, you know, and here's what gets me about the latest of all these the police confrontations that are videotaped. You know, now we have videotape replay in football. They watch those videos, you know, over and over and over again before they make a decision. Now in baseball, we have a videotape replay in baseball, so umpires can get the call right. Police officers don't have the benefit of that. So you and I and the callers, you know, we can watch these videos over and over again. And it's just hard to comment on these things when a police officer, he only sees it once, and he's expected to get it right the first time, where NFL referees, they can watch it 20 times before they have to make a decision. So it's very, very tough to put yourself in a position to say, hey, this was justified or not justified, you know, when sometimes it's a lot of things going on. The officers, the deputies are under pressure, and they have to make a split-second decision. They don't have the luxury of videotape replays.
Now, in this... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Unfortunately, sometimes they're going to get it wrong, and it's a tragedy when that happens. You hope that they don't, but I can tell you, no police officer, no deputy sheriff comes to work and say, I think I'm going to shoot and kill somebody today.
Absolutely. Now, in this particular case, you used a term that, again, I'm just questioning. I want to try to be fair on both sides here. You said that the video where it was enhanced, where you can see the gun, is it possible? Is it in any way possible? And I've watched this video 5-6 times. To me, it looks like it was probably a 45 or a 40 caliber or something about that size. Is there any possibility that it wasn't a gun?
Well, you know, we had the case in Cleveland, you know, last year where it was a toy gun. So, you know, it's hard. At that distance, you know, it could be tough. But at the same time, in this case, you have eyewitness testimony saying that he was firing shots into the air. So with what you see, what witnesses have told you, you know, you can pretty safely assume he must have a gun in his hand.
Well, let's bring it full circle then to Broward County. In 2013, there was a police shooting where the BSO deputy was just suspended and indicted just at the end of last week for, again, a case that is... going to gain some steam, especially this week, both locally and nationally. If I have my facts right, he was walking from his car to his home with a rifle in his hand. Apparently the rifle was covered, but somebody called 911, said there's a man in a parking lot with a gun. Cops get on the scene. They see a guy with a gun. They tell the guy to drop the gun. He doesn't comply. What's the next thing that happens?
Yeah, and again, you have noncompliance. Somebody was concerned enough and was afraid enough to call 911 that there was somebody carrying a rifle down the street. And here we are preaching to the public constantly. See something, say something. See something, say something. We want the public to be engaged and call in when they see something because the police can't be everywhere. So in this case, so in Broward with Deputy Peraza and Mr. McBean, that's what happened. A citizen called. They were concerned for the safety of their neighborhood. A citizen, a person living in the neighborhood, calls in. And again, no deputy wants to find himself in that position. You don't. But at the same time, comes time, as I always said, you got to collect your paycheck. You know, you're trained to handle those situations. It's a tough one. It's a tragedy. Turned out to be an air rifle, whether the air buds had something to do with it. whether his mental capacity had something to do with it, that he didn't respond to the commands. You know, unfortunately, that's what's going to have to come out in court. But again, the average citizen, if you were asked to be in a police officer's shoes and show up on the scene of something like that, I can tell you, for just illustration purposes, you know, we put media people through our shooting simulators, and quite often have been there where a media person, you know, will shoot somebody carrying an umbrella because they said, well, they thought it was a rifle. It's a tough, it's a tenuous situation, but again, every day, day in and day out, police officers are running towards the danger. They're not running away from it. You get a 911 call, you know, you have to respond and deal with it the best you can.
Well, and again, when I heard about this case in Broward County, the first thing that came to mind is the kid with the gun in Cleveland, where, in my opinion, and I know it's very controversial because there's people that argued to no end telling me that I'm a moron, I'm the idiot for thinking that the cops were justified in that situation where they came to, there were calls of a kid in the park with a gun. Police pull up on that. Again, they see the kid with the gun. The kid does not comply. He picks up the gun towards them. Cops fire and kill him. I think it might have been a 12-year-old, if I'm not mistaken. And all seemed okay until just recently, he too was indicted on murder charges.
It's a tough situation for police officers to be in. What I'm afraid of, this continual scrutiny is going to make people hesitate. They already call it the Ferguson effect, where you're going to get in a situation like that, you're going to hesitate, you're going to get shot. Any of us can go to Target or Toys R Us and see some of these realistic toy guns. The manufacturers were required now to paint the barrel orange. But we've had cases of gang members, motorcycle gangs. You can just spray paint that, you know, with black paint. And it looks so real that you don't know what to do. You're in that situation. Again, you have to get it right the first time. You don't have the benefit of a videotape replay. And they are realistic-looking firearms, for sure, and they're only toys.
And let's not forget the other side of this. We're talking to Sheriff Alan Birdy. The other side is, and you've put this in my hand, so I know this exists, these real guns that are disguised to look like toy guns, and an officer is supposed to pull up on this and assume, well, hey, it's one of those super soakers or something. Do you remember that particular, I think that was called a super soaker, but in fact it was a real shotgun modified to look like a toy.
Yes, exactly. And there's so many of them out there, and the gang members are carrying them. And on top of that, there are so many concealed, disguised firearms, you know, in cigarette lighters, in big pens. You know, there's no length that they'll go to try to disguise a firearm. And it is scary out there today for police officers and deputy sheriffs and law enforcement officers. You don't know what you're going to be facing.
So what is a law enforcement officer to do if you come upon a situation like this and you feel that you indeed are justified because it's either you or him or her, and then it turns out that 2 years later, or in this, two years later, that all of a sudden you're indicted for murder charges?
It is no doubt a tough situation to be in again because you have to get it right the first time. I can tell you that, you know, there seems to be some other extenuating circumstances in the Broward case, but that's going to have to come out later. But again, you have to depend on your training. It's even more so now that you have to be even more alert and ready to defend yourself as well. We've always said, though, you want to come home to your family. At the end of your shift, that's playing through these officers' minds as well, is how do I survive these kind of situations? You don't have a license to go out there and kill. And again, no deputy or police officer comes to work saying, oh, I think I'm going to shoot somebody today and kill somebody today. That's the farthest thing from your mind. It's a tough situation.
I've gotten probably about 6 text messages. By the way, my iPhone is 305-707-7878, 305-707-7878. If it's your first time texting, please just tell me your first name and where you live so I can edge into phone book and know who I'm talking to. And if you want to get in on the phone conversation, 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585. 6 different people texted in the last few minutes, Sheriff, saying, And I know the answer to this, but they're saying, why don't we just stop making toy guns? We don't need them for anything. And the first thing that comes to mind for me is, well, even if you stop them, you still have the toys that are out there already. Same thing with gun control, with real guns. Even if you took away everybody's guns, the criminals still have guns, and these are still out there in the millions.
Oh, yeah. 300 million firearms are owned in the United States. I've thrown out that 200,000 to 300,000 firearms are stolen every single year. So, you know, that isn't the answer. We did try to legislate things with toy or replica guns that they had to be a different color. But again, you know, with TV and cartoons and now video games, kids seem to want realistic-looking toys, you know, to copy what they see on TV or see in video games. It is scary because it puts police officers in a tough situation.
Even scarier, there's a couple of things on this particular case with the Broward deputy. One, the local media keeps reporting over and over again that the guy was wearing earbuds. Even more disturbing to me is that they keep emphasizing that the gun was unloaded. Now, before you unload on your thoughts on that, and I know that's an interesting topic to go on, because the same thing happened with the kid in Cleveland. It was unloaded. It was not a real gun. In this case, it was a real gun. But the local media, there's two Miami TV stations that are reporting over and over again, the gun was unloaded. He couldn't have killed anybody. But a cop doesn't know that the gun is unloaded. So if you can hang on, Sheriff, I want to talk to you more about this when we get back from a quick timeout. You're listening to The Rich Stevens Show.
Tall, dark, and handsome. Well, he is tall. It's Rich Stevens on 850 WFTL. Here he is.
All right, before the break, we're talking to Sheriff Al Lamberti. Got a text from Sam. It's telling me that he saw this YouTube video where a kid made a 22 out of one of those Walmart flare guns using line materials. A flare gun is about $49. And this is really scary because, again, you don't know when you're coming upon something as a police officer if it's real or if it's not. And then you got to take a chance. Is it your life or is it the other guy's life? So, you know, it's that split second decision that we're talking about. The BSO deputy had a rifle. The local media is making a big deal about it, that he was wearing earbuds. Oh, he didn't hear the cops. Well, who's at fault in this case? And they've charged the cop. And this is what I want to talk about, if you can hang on for a couple minutes.
Absolutely, would go.
All right, let me put you on hold. We're talking about the deputy in Broward County shot a guy that had a rifle that was going from, this is a story, he was going from his car to his home. The rifle was apparently covered with a blanket or something. A neighbor called and said, there's a guy with a gun in the parking lot. Deputies get on the scene. They yell to him, drop the gun, drop the gun, drop the gun. Numerous times. He doesn't drop the gun. Next thing they do is they fire him. Of course, they kill him. They don't shoot to injure. This is what we're talking about. You are listening to The Rich Stevens Show.